Up next, DIY disasters, a mower on its last leg, and kitchen countertops on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Okay, Brian, welcome to our next episode, episode number 86 of the Handy Guys Podcast. And Brian, we have all kinds of new announcements to talk about this week. We have some interesting what are you doing lately stories, and also some DIY disasters we want to talk about. It's going to be a smorgasbord, as we say here in Pennsylvania, of ideas and content.
That's right.
In this show. And but you know, before we get to any of that, why don't we provide our contact information?
The contact information. You can always call us at 818-804-8665 or fill out the contact form on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, you know, many of us as Handy Guys, Handy Gals, have stories. We often get into a project.
Right.
And sometimes we get over our heads, or sometimes we're not sure what we're doing. And let's be honest with ourselves, a lot of projects around the house, you know, you have to get into something. You don't always know 100% what you're doing. That's the point of doing it. You dig in a little bit and figure it out.
That's right. You do some education, some learning. You figure things out. You know, you contact us, ask us questions, use other resources online, and figure out what you need to do.
But unfortunately, it doesn't always go how you want. And sometimes we have, well, you might call them disasters, DIY disasters.
That's right.
Some would call them DIY dramas, you might say. And in fact, that's what True Value calls them, because they are having a DIY drama contest where they want to hear about, you know, maybe those little disaster you've had, like say you flooded your kitchen when you're trying to hook up a faucet. Or
have you ever done that?
I had a small puddle in the underneath the kitchen. I wouldn't say I flooded the kitchen.
Right. Yeah, you know, you have a little drip or something like that, but a flood?
No, I wouldn't say I flooded the kitchen. I don't think I've burned down my house yet or anything like that. But you know, I've had some disasters which, yeah, I could probably share with you. For instance, you know, Brian, just a few weeks ago,
Paul, tell us this story, because I know all about this, and I was shocked, amazed, and amused.
Okay,
at
so
your story.
All right, here's
your DIY drama.
Yeah, here's
Handy
Guy.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, right. Because you know, True Value is looking for stories like this, and they want to get your video of the story, or perhaps three photos that you could send in. But here's my drama. Brian, I was out in my car, and I was hooking up a product from iCarKits. It was called the iSimple Media Gateway, and it allows me to connect an iPod so I can listen to the Handy Guys podcast and other podcasts to my stereo. And it's nice because it actually integrates with the controls on the stereo, including the controls on the steering wheel.
So for like changing channel, so to speak,
yeah,
volume, things like that.
Volume, change songs, song lists. You can scroll through your various lists and things like that. And so it's a great, this iSimple gateway, and it worked for my 04 Honda Accord. And unfortunately, I had to take apart the dash to connect it. But if you can get the dash apart, it's really nice. You actually connect it right into the harness. There's a connection right in the back of the radio where the CD changer connects. And it has a male and female adapter. You connect it into that, and then you connect the CD changer into the back of this iSimple gateway so that you don't lose any features that you already had. In my case, I have a CD changer for the younger audience that plays those round discs that they used to put music on, you know, in the old days. So anyway, it's kind of nice because it doesn't break anything, but it adds some functionality.
Okay.
And so I'm out there, and you know, like I said, the hardest part of this project, I mean, you want it to be nice. You don't want to ruin your car. You don't want wires hanging out. You want it to be nice and neat.
And you don't want to take it into some guy who's going to charge you a couple hundred bucks to do it.
Exactly. So I got the product. It's about $150 or so. And I went to connect it, and I started to take apart the dash. Everything was going well. But the instructions that come with the product are not all that great, but there's some nice pictures on the internet. So I brought my laptop out to the car, connected wirelessly to the internet. Everything was good. So I used my laptop, looked at the pictures as I was taking it apart.
Because you didn't want to waste any paper by printing out those pictures,
right? Exactly. So
what kind of laptop was this?
I'm a cheapskate. It happened to be an Apple MacBook Pro 15-inch. So it's a nice laptop.
It's a pretty decent laptop.
Yeah, it's a very nice laptop. So I'm working on the car. It's a new car for me. It's in perfect shape, even though it's a 2004. It looks brand new, perfect. Has all the bells and whistles. And I didn't want to scratch things. I wanted everything to be nice. So I'm taking my time. I got the dash apart. Screws are popping off. I'm making sure I'm saving pieces. After a while, though, I made a couple mistakes or pieces that I couldn't find and that fell down in. I had to find them. So I'm working on the radio. And after a while, I realized, okay, I know how to take apart this dash because I started to put it back together and realized I forgot something, took it apart. I can do it. But the laptop was kind of getting in the way because as I'm taking the dash apart...
It's sitting there on the seat or something,
It's
right?
sitting on the seat, and I'm putting pieces over there, and I'm putting screws over here. And
you don't want to, scratch the laptop, right?
I didn't want to scratch it, and it was just kind of in the way. So I thought, and it's really a kind of a hot fall day where the sun is hot, but it's not real hot outside, but you're kind of getting hot in the car, and the sunroof
sure, yeah,
is open.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to kind of get it out of the way, so I went to put it out next to the car outside my car door. And then I realized, well, it's in the sun, and if the kids are running around,
You might go out and step on
exactly,
it.
Exactly. I didn't want to step on it, do something stupid, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
I wanted to get around that. So I thought, well, I'll just slide it under the car. It's in the shade. It'll stay cool, because it was still running.
Uh-huh.
I just closed the lid. I just slid it under the car. No big deal. So here I am working on the dash, trying to get it off. Well, of course, after a while, you realize that the brake lever is in the way, so you take the parking brake, turn it off, no problem. But then after a while, I realized that the gear shifter is in the way. It's an automatic, so I wanted to take it out of park and put it into neutral. Why are you laughing? So, very, very common thing to do, take it out. Well, I have a fairly flat driveway, so I thought, I need to get this out of the way to get the one compartment comes out in one piece and the handle was getting in the way. And so I turned the key on and put it in neutral, and started to leave it there. And I slowly took my foot off the brake to make sure the car wouldn't roll. It was a fairly flat driveway.
Sure is, yeah.
I thought, it wouldn't roll. I'm fine. So the car was fine, just sitting there flat. So I started working. And I probably worked a good 5-10 minutes, no problem. Well, after a while, I started to feel maybe I had vertigo or something. Like, the world just didn't seem right.
Uh-oh.
And then I realized, oh, shoot. I'm moving. The world was moving, and I realized, no, I'm moving. And the car was rolling, and my first thought was, that's not good, because I have kids, small children playing around, and you don't want to back over a child. So I immediately grabbed the brake and pulled it back. Everything stopped fine. I looked outside, no children around. Everything was good. So I'm like, oh, good. I had probably moved about, we'll say, 4 to 6 feet.
Okay,
not a lot, but enough to cause some damage to a child
or
to a laptop. So, unfortunately, because I put the laptop underneath the car, it was right in the path of the front left driver's side tire, and I'd actually backed over the laptop and put a nice tire print over the top of the laptop. Now, I got out of the car because I was kind of surprised, and then I realized, oh, actually, there is a little bit of a slant, a little bit of, my driveway isn't exactly level, but it has some
grade.
Obviously
not, Paul.
And actually, I think what had happened is it stayed still, but when I started working on the car, I probably got it rocking a little bit and, pulling things out of the dash and things like that, and it actually just started rolling pretty good. And the funny thing was, even though I saw that I ran over my laptop, I was so freaked out that I had been moving and with kids around, I was thrilled that there was no children around. And so my first thought was, oh, whew. And then I thought, well, that was dumb. And some would call this a disaster. I went to open the laptop. And
it's definitely drama. DIY drama.
It absolutely is DIY drama. I opened the laptop, and interestingly, it was still running, it appeared, because I could hear it running, but the screen was like a spider web. So the LCD had cracked, shattered, I should say. But interestingly enough, The laptop was bad. I was able to hook it up to an external monitor to confirm that it was still running. And this is not one of their solid body, really strong laptops. I think if it was one of their new ones, it may have survived, but it was their older one, about a year and a half old, before they went to the solid body metal frame. But it was strong enough that it could at least survive on the motherboard and the hard drive. But this LCD was shattered. I replaced the LCD. I bought one for, I forget how much it cost, a couple hundred dollars, and replaced it. But because of the way it compressed on the case, I can't get a DVD in it anymore. It's like bent. So I also don't have access to the DVD drive. And also when I put the LCD in, the webcam that's built into it is no longer working because where the cable connects in trying to reconnect it, it just broke. The piece broke off. So the laptop is functional, but so, you know, it was a disaster. It was stupid. You know, don't put laptops underneath the path of your tires because even
ever.
For any
reason.
Exactly. Because, you know, I may have just totally forgotten about it.
Why couldn't you have put it on your back seat?
I could have, you know, it makes
sense. Why couldn't you walked inside?
I just want it out of the way. You know, I was working and I just didn't give it enough thought, but that's my drama. Now, if you want to enter your idea, maybe you've had a DIY drama and, you know, you have some video or perhaps some photographs. What do you do with it, Brian?
Well, you can go to – you'll follow the link on our website. It'll be in the show notes, but it'll be to a site called StartHere.com. It's a True Value site, and there you can upload your video. You can get a little badge for your blog if you're a blogger and submit a little essay describing your story. And the top 10 entries – we will all be able to go and vote on who has the most dramatic DIY blooper drama, and the top winner will win $5,000. How about that?
Awesome. So you can win $5,000. There you go. So if you have a great drama contest, go to our website, click on the True Value DIY drama. And up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things we're going to be doing with True Value in the next few weeks.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
All right, briefly, I just want to talk about some of the things we're going to be doing with True Value the next few weeks, and it's actually going to be applicable, I think, to our listeners this time of year. So, Brian, why don't you just mention a couple of the things?
Yeah, so True Value is sponsoring some of our posts or some of the segments of our podcast coming up, and we've come up with some ideas on some shows to do with them. We're going to do some stuff about energy savings, furnace filters and setback thermostats, things like that. And maybe a little bit on garage organization. We're not quite sure yet, but if you have some ideas on projects that can be done in conjunction with True Value products and solutions and services, let us know, and we'll see if we can get those covered on a future show.
Yeah, what filter should I get? I need a new filter for my furnace, Brian. Is it the MARV rating that counts or the MERV rating? What is that?
I don't know. You have to change furnace filters?
Yeah, I think at least once every 10 years, is it?
I don't know. I haven't been in this house 10 years, I don't.
There's actually a lot of
yet.
Choices. If you go to your True Value store, you'll see there's a lot of choices. We're going to try to really get into that. What kind of filter should you have on your furnace? Does it matter?
I don't know.
We'll talk about that in the next few weeks. But now we have our old segment we're going to bring back. It's called What Are You Doing Lately? Okay, so what are you doing lately, Brian? You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first, Paul. So I've mentioned a couple times I do a little few projects here and there at a campground, and also, you know, we talked about this maybe with mowers, and I have an old tractor that I got on Freecycle, actually. You helped me pick it up,
right,
as you recall.
You got it for free. And Brian, I know where you're going because we've been getting a lot of questions about this lately. What do you do with that mower that stops working, how much, you know, when do you decide to stop throwing money at it? Is that where you're going with this?
That's exactly where I'm going with this.
Well, tell us about it. I mean, you got a great riding mower, didn't you? It was working, basically. You had to put some $100 into it.
I put $100 into it. I got a new battery, a new fuel line, you know, spark plugs, oil filter, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was running, and it was doing pretty good. You know, it's not something I would use, you know, for a golf course manicured lawn, but I run it around on trails and stuff at the campground and different things like that. So I beat it up pretty well. And over the past year, I've broken a number of different things on it. I broke an axle. I've broken, you know, I've gone through countless belts. I've broken pulleys on it. I've bent and broken blades. I've broken parts of the deck. All of these things require me to get a part or parts. And the part might be a $12 part. It might be a $30 part. You know, I had a $100 part that I had to do. And
so it wasn't really a free mower.
It was nothing's ever free, Paul.
Right.
And I'm at a point where, you know, I've replaced a lot of parts. I've got to do a new belt now, and I've got something that's one of the pulleys is still a little goofy, and it's causing the belt to wear prematurely, and it's going to be another $40 part.
Now, do you think that the part of you had some issues with this mower, but is it because you were using it in a way, in a manner that it wasn't capable of handling, or was it, do you think
that's definitely part of it?
Was the quality of the mower of a lesser grade?
That's the other part of it. So it's a kind of a department store mower, if you will. It's got a good engine. It's got a heavy duty 23 horsepower Briggs engine. It's got a 46 inch cut, which is a nice feature. Some of them are smaller. And so those are two things I like about it. What I don't like about it, it doesn't have a high clearance, so I can't cut real high if I'm going through real tall stuff, you know, like trails and, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, I definitely have abused it.
But it's not a John Deere.
It's not a John Deere, and it's not built like a deer, and it's and I'm putting it through things that it was never designed to do.
And I assume you don't have any dealer support really for it. You have to.
No, I don't have any support for it. It's all me figuring out what's going wrong.
So the question is, when do you decide? At some point, you know, it doesn't matter if you got it for free. You're spending money on it and time.
Money and time to keep it running. So, you know, do I spend another $40 on another, you know, part and another belt to get it going? Or do I just say, you know what, I'm going to trash this thing?
So we've gotten questions like that from listeners. You know, they'll have a push mower that is 10 years old, and they're starting, you know, they have $150 they need to put into it to keep it running. And you start to ask yourself, at that point, I'm thinking, well, 10 years isn't bad. Go move along here.
Right. you can buy an inexpensive push mower for a couple $100.
Right.
You can get a decent one for about $400,
right.
$500.
A really good one, yeah.
Yeah. And so spending $150 on a 10-year-old
right.
mower, probably not a good idea.
But in your case, that mower, you're looking at a larger scale.
Yeah, $2,500 to
whatever,
$3,500, $4,000. I mean, for a decent, really nice one.
Right.
So at what point, you know, and really the mower for the job at the campground, Paul, is not a mower. It's a compact tractor with a brush cutter.
Right.
Is really what I need. And so essentially what we're doing is we're using a home, you know, small homeowner mower for really an estate mower or large property owner task. And that's, you know, a little rougher terrain, taller grass, things like that.
And you probably don't have, or do you have, like accessories you can get for it, add-ons and things like that?
No.
Because it was just this kind of a non-branded.
Yeah.
And you don't have the support. So you really need to think about when you're going to get a tool like that. You know, it was great that you had some for free, may get you through a couple of years, but it's not free and you don't have all the attachments
That's
you need
right.
and you can't really expand it. And you don't, if you can't get support for it and it's not running well, there's no point in buying accessories that are maybe only for that particular type of mower.
Right. So, you know, I might be $300 plus into this thing now. after a year and a half or a year. Yeah, probably a year and a half. And
plus hours of your time.
Yeah, you know, taking it apart and downtime as well. So it's, you know, while I'm waiting for parts that have to be specially ordered, now I can't use it.
All right, so Brian is repairing his mower, and so what is your ultimate decision going to be, you think, here?
I think I'm going to repair it one more time.
Okay.
And then put it away for the winter.
What do you find is the best place to get parts for this?
You know, I've been getting them online. There's a number of different dealers, Amazon in particular, and I've gotten parts
Amazon, really?
Amazon, yeah. Through our affiliate store, Paul.
So they have stuff other than books?
They have stuff other than books.
And Handy Guys stuff?
Check out the Handy Guys podcast store. You can get some of the mower parts there,
right,
like blades and belts and you know, the more common stuff.
Very good.
So that all works.
So Brian is knee-deep in mower parts, and perhaps he's looking at a John Deere or something like that into the future.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Something, you know, a little more... a little beefier.
All right. Well, up next, we're going to talk about kitchen counters.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, Brian. So my what are you doing lately has to do with kitchens. And while we've been podcasting here in the Handy Guys Podcast studio, my wife has been out looking for new kitchen counters. Well, let's just say she looked for kitchen counters. Now she's purchased kitchen counters.
Yes.
Now, this is let's just say, an item in every handy guy's, handy gal's home that is an important, you know, the kitchen, it's a high up in the list. And it just so happens that we have cabinets that we like, floors that we like, but the countertops were laminate countertops or Formica-type countertops.
Sure.
Composite material, which is a great material, lasts a long time. It holds up fairly well.
Yeah.
But it did not meet the expectations of the design committee in my household. So
the design committee of one.
Right. Yes. So and there were some other problems with it, with the island having really sharp edges and kids running around and things like that. But still, basically, it was a design issue. My wife cooks a lot all the time. And so I understand why.
I've seen some of her videos.
Yeah, that's right. And they're out on on YouTube. So so we wanted to get new countertops. Now, that's a big research project because there are more choices than you can imagine. It's almost like buying a car. You have your Formica. Then you have your solid surfaces.
Right.
What is it called?
Corian.
Thank you. And then there's some other, you know, brands out there that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you also have your natural surfaces, like you have your slate, you have your
soapstone, marble,
quartz. You can get granite, of course, and concrete. You can actually get polished concrete. And so then you can also get, you know, various kind of a mixture of composite and man-made materials,
right,
and natural.
Like that one company that overlays your existing.
You can get the
tops and, with a granite,
yep,
resin mix kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you can also get like a recycled type glass countertop, this material, which is kind of interesting. So there's a lot of choices, but you know, what we want to talk about is, if you're thinking of kitchen counters, where does the handy guy come into play here? Because even though it's not really an item that you'd want to do yourself, unless you did laminate possibly, but you really want to leave it to the pros, because if you're going to pay a lot of money, you want to make sure that, you know, the biggest, really, the most critical aspect to it is not only the cutting of the material in the preparation of it, but it's the installation of it. And you want to make sure it's installed right. And because you're spending so much money on it, you want to, you know, someone who's installed 100 of these things or whatever.
Right.
So so we ended up getting granite.
And even within the granite, Paul,
yeah,
you've got
absolutely
thousands of choices within the granite.
There's different grades, and there's really only so many different colors of granite ultimately, but you pay a bigger price to get something that's more unique. So the more unique it is with more unique designs on it, you're going to pay a higher price. So you want to get it installed. Well, the problem is this. if you're looking at Granite installers, is that they all take templates. They come in and make a template of your kitchen and use that to cut the granite. But every installer does it differently. Some want you to remove your countertops first, then they'll do a template. Others, more rarely, but some will do it with your current countertops. The benefits are, obviously, that you can wait. If they do it a template with your countertops on, you can wait till the last minute to remove them before the actual installation. Whereas the other way, you have to take them off, they come and do a template, and then they say, oh, we'll be back in a day or two, and you hope they do, because here you are trying to function without your kitchen countertops.
Right. Now, will your granite installer remove that countertop for you as well?
Well, you know, Brian, they'll do whatever you want them to do. If you want them to paint the room, they'll probably do that. But everything is a cost.
Right, right.
So if you want them to remove the countertops, that's a cost. If you want them to take away the countertops, that's a cost. For most, you know, it just depends, obviously, on the installer.
Right, right.
So in our case, we didn't even present that to them. We figured there was a fee involved if they were going to remove it. So that's your handy guy's task. Removing the countertops.
So that's what you were doing lately. So.
Right, that's what I've been doing lately. I had to remove the countertops, and I employed a friend of mine. He also works on this podcast. His name is Brian.
Yes, yes.
And so thankfully he helped. And by the way, if you're going to remove your countertops, get someone to help you. You know, if your wife can do it, or your husband, someone in the household, or a friend, because it'll make the job easier. In our case, you know, getting removing countertops, it was a laminate countertop with sort of a fiber wood
particle board,
thank you, substrate. Really easy. You just got to get to take the drawers out, and you find the screws that are holding that countertop to the cabinets, and you got to unscrew them. That's the easy part. What was the hard part, Brian?
The hard part was the backsplash, Paul.
Yeah.
Because the backsplash on yours, it's not always the case, but a lot of times the backsplash is installed after the countertop goes in, and in your case, it was glued to the wall with yeah. silicone adhesive.
Yeah. So that was the hardest part, was prying that off and not taking all of the drywall off with it.
Right.
As it was, we left a lot of gouges, which I had to fill in with a joint compound or a plaster repair or something like that, which I've already done. So for the new backsplash, which is going to be tile, which is another show in and of itself. So you want to get that. You also need to think about how you're going to get rid of those countertops. A lot of folks that have trash pickup, they won't take, you know, putting out a 10-foot countertop.
Right,
out
right.
in the front yard. I was fortunate enough that they did take it.
Did they take it? They didn't complain?
No, nope, went out the next day.
You're going to leave them a case of beer at Christmas time?
I probably should. So I do need to leave them a nice check at Christmas. But anyway, you know, so you have to think through those things. You save a few bucks. That's a job for the handy guy. Then there's one other big job. When you get a solid surface countertop like that, you typically get it installed with the sink, because you want it to be integrated with the countertop.
Sure.
However, they only install it with the sink. They don't actually connect the sink or your faucet. So you need to hook up the faucet and hook up the drains and the disposal and all of that. That takes some work. You know, in my opinion, you know, usually the supply side is usually easy, and it wasn't too difficult in my case, although I had a couple little gotchas because the supply side hoses that come with the faucet wouldn't reach my supply side, so I had to extend it. But on the drains, actually, it went quite well. I sometimes struggle with the drains. That was no problem. But you do need to think through that, where the disposal is going to go. You got to put in a P-trap, and you can maybe use what you have, but you may not be able to. So you need to prepare to put in a P-trap, and you can use the PVC piping and the various gaskets to connect your – if you have a dual sink like mine, there's a small sink and a large sink, then I have like a double drain. So you need to look at that. And actually, in the most recent copy of Fine Home Building, there's an article on installing a sink just for that. Yeah, with a P-trap and two sinks. So you need to make sure it's the grade is correct, or that, you know, it's going downhill, and you'll get the best so you don't have clogs and things like that. So that's what the handy guy has to do. You got to do the sink hookup. You got to do the removing of the old countertop if you don't want to pay for it. And then backsplash. And unless
and
you're going to
future show.
Yeah, that's a future show, but unless you're going to do, you know, a granite backsplash that comes with a countertop, you know, our case we're going to do tile, then that's a job for the handy guy. We're going to talk about that in another show. But that's what I've been doing lately. So if you're looking at kitchen counters, you still have some work to do if you're a handy guy or handy gal, even all though right. you might be getting the counters installed.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this week. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you can submit an idea to the DIY drama contest from True Value. If you have a good idea and you're going to submit it, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Sure.
Maybe we can talk about it on our show and promote your case.
Right.
And in the next few weeks, we got some good shows on energy savings, our yearly fall energy savings show, and some other topics. If you have some ideas, some topics, some items you've purchased at a True Value hardware store, and there are good topics for a show, let us know. Send us an email at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
All right.
That's all we have for this week. We'll be back next week with the Handy Guys Podcast.
Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.